Coming up on today's edition of Locked On Eagles, we continue to recap a big win from the Eagles on Sunday Night Football against the Green Bay Packers. It's stock up, stock down right here on Locked On Eagles.
You are Locked On Eagles, your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
We thank you so much for making Locked On Eagles your first listen each and every day. Welcome in, Eagles fans, to a Tuesday edition of the show. I'm Louis DiBiase. He's Gino Camilleri. You can find the podcast Monday through Friday on all podcast platforms and on YouTube. Hit us up on Twitter at Locked On Birds, at DiBiase, L-O-E, and at GC24_football. It's a Tuesday edition of the show, so that always means, Gino, it's stock up, stock down. And we are continuing to recap the Eagles' 40-33 win over the Green Bay Packers on Sunday Night Football to get to 10-1 on the year, holding on to that one seed in the NFC. The entire NFC East right now is in the playoffs, so they're trying to keep pace here, continue to stack wins. And, Gino, again, just rewatching the game these past 2 days and the highlights, I still cannot believe how good the offensive line was, Miles Sanders, but and we'll talk about them later, but especially Jalen Hurts. I mean, that game, we're witnessing one of the best individual seasons in Eagles history. You can throw this year with Randall Cunningham, 1990. You can put it with Donovan McNabb, 2004, Michael Vick, 2010, Carson Wentz and Nick Foles, 2017. It's going to go down, especially looking at the numbers at the end of this year. We'll see what happens in the playoffs, but this is going to be one of the best of them.
I brought up the other day on the post-game show that it's late November. These Heisman Trophy winners start to come out and come out of their shell, right? And this is the time for Jalen Hurts. And you know, when they do the Heisman Trophy ceremony, there's always that moment for the winner, right? That play where Jalen Hurts just scrambles all over the yard, ends up pulling a Michael Vick, that's the one that you put at the end of the year with all the culmination of these throws that he has made. That back shoulder touchdown to Quez Watkins, the throw to A.J. Brown to hit him right when he changed direction. Mm-hmm. The evolution of Jalen Hurts year over year over year, where he's been a starter now for just about 2 full calendar years. He's had the most success against the Green Bay Packers, it seems. I mean, he comes in, starts his career there as the backup to Carson Wentz in that game. Looks pretty good, and you saw those glimmers of what could be with Jalen Hurts, and now he is putting it all together. But it all comes down to what I believe, Lou, should be an entire unit that is in the conversation for the MVP consideration. The Philadelphia Eagles are not a 10-1 football team without those guys on the offensive line. And it's not just the five of them. They brought Cam Jurgens in on that big touchdown in the red zone to get some push. Adam as an extra lineman. Andre Dillard has had to come in there. Sua Opeta has had to step up in moments as well. The development and what Jeff Stoutland has done has allowed
a lot easier for Hurts, man, for
sure. Oh, the creativity and the freedom that Shane Steichen and Nick Sirianni have week after week after week. And the one thing that we take for granted is those times when they go out there on fourth and short and they say, oh, Jalen Hurts is fantastic at picking up these short yardage situations. Well, yeah, you have to trust the five guys in front of them to get that push.
Yeah, and how about the creativity overall of just this team coming up with, hey, we're going to have two guys pushing our quarterback forward as well. We've never
Everybody's really seen it now.
Now
if you've seen the evolution in college and NFL in the last couple of weeks, it's been exactly that.
In the run game, they've been trendsetters. You know, Hurts, of course, breaks the record for most rushing yards in a single game in Eagles history for a quarterback. That was Vic's record in 2010. He now has more rushing yards through his first 2 years and as a full-time starter without even finishing that second season. He has more rushing yards in 2 full years as a starter quarterback for the Eagles over Randall Cunningham, over Michael Vick, over Donovan McNabb. To see this all come together, again, it's just so fitting for an Eagles quarterback. But Gino, again, like you mentioned, the ball placement again was spot on. He is now the 13th quarterback ever with over 17 passing touchdowns and under 3 interceptions through 11 games. That's the difference when you look at like Cunningham and Vic. You know, those guys were this explosive early in their careers, but they didn't become what Jalen is right now as a processor, as an accurate quarterback, really until late in their career. Vic took, you know, he was drafted in 2001, right? And he didn't become that guy until 2010. Randall Cunningham in Philly was a solid passer, but he didn't really take that step as a pocket passer until late in his career when he was with Minnesota. Jalen's doing it year three at 24 years old. I mean, we always wondered, man, what if you got Vic from 2010 long term? You're kind of getting that right now.
I would say the only other two cases where it's very similar in the past two decades have to be the first couple of years of Donovan, where he comes in there as a rookie. It's just poor. They don't have the playmakers around him. And then all of a sudden, this team just comes together, and you see the evolution of Donovan McNabb, even without those wide receivers. Yeah. And then the year 1-2 for Carson Wentz, which we know went off the rails, but that jump was unprecedented. And even now, the jump from Jalen Hurts, year 1-2-3. The only other person that it's similar to that we have seen is Josh Allen. And that's just the numbers. I'm not just saying that to be hyperbolic and blow it out of proportion. If you look at the numbers in what Jalen Hurts did, completion percentage wise, taking care of the football, he turned it over a lot when it came to interceptions. That year when it was Carson Wentz and him, they led the league in fumbles as an offense. I mean, they just continued to turn it over. And now Jalen just takes care of the football. And that's what you need in this type of quarterback who we thought could be potentially a game manager, right, Lou? Mm-hmm. Well, now, if you have a player that is an MVP, which we have seen in the past two games, having the potential to score countless amount of touchdowns while taking care of the football, Lou, there's not going to be a lot of teams that can keep up with that type of offense, to where if they don't turn the ball over and they can score on, let's say, 75% of their offensive drives, in which they did last game, how many offenses in the NFL can keep up with that?
He's not just taking care of the football. He is also pushing the ball down the field better than most quarterbacks in the NFL this year. And that's the thing is, Jalen Hurts, the past 2 weeks, we've seen how his running can elevate this football team. But the month before that, Gino, those four games before, you know, you look at the Dallas game, the bye week, and then you look at Pittsburgh, Houston, Washington, he wasn't really running the ball. He was making teams pay within the numbers. And that's what those quarterbacks in the past really didn't do for a while into their career. So Jalen right now is pretty much a triple threat, right? And he calls himself that, running the ball, passing the ball, but also the way his football IQ has developed, that's been so crucial. He's really checked every box, right? I mean, this week it was the, you know, shootout against a star quarterback. You've seen the game-winning drives against the Colts. You've seen the comeback down multiple scores against Jacksonville, passing with efficient volume, playing well against talented defenses. I mean, Gino, like, this kind of felt like the last box until the playoffs, where it's like, okay, everything we lined up saying he needs to do this to convince us, every box has a check mark in it.
Going back to the metaphor that I made prior to the season of him being a Formula One racer, this guy has not just kept the car off of the wall, kept it clean, not gotten into any wrecks. He is now second, maybe even leading the pack when it comes to quarterback play in the year 2022. We know Pat Mahomes is still playing at an unbelievably high level. Oh, yeah. But if you look at him and Josh Allen in the past couple weeks, Lou, they've both made mistakes in the red zone where you're saying, that isn't what these guys have done. And now you're saying Jalen Hurts hasn't made those mistakes to where it is ultimately cost them a game. Josh,
it's rare for a young player, Gino, I feel like, to be this almost mistake free.
And when you look at it and you look at what his numbers were on the ground, when you look at a quarterback like Justin Fields, where it's necessary for him to have to get over 100 yards on the ground with his legs simply because there's no other talent to pick up the rest of that team. That's the thing about Jalen, and I love your point. In those middle games of this season, he was only averaging around 25 to 30 yards on the ground per game, picking up big yardage with his arms. But then you revert back to it and say, oh, we're not going to make the mistakes of teams that were in our division with RG3, who they eliminated the legs from RG3 after that injury, and they said, you're going to be a pocket passer. The Eagles said, well, we'll work on you when it comes to the pocket passing, but we know you're an elite runner, and that is exactly what they did today. They went back – or on Sunday, rather. They went back to high school football at times and said, all right, quarterback draw, get our guy in space, make 2-3 guys miss – and he squats 600 pounds, as everybody says. He's going to make multiple guys miss tackles, and that's just a great bargaining chip to have in your offense.
He's the latest ultimate weapon under center for the Philadelphia Eagles. for the 11th game in a row, stock up for QB1, Jalen Hurts. We'll continue to get into stock up after that Eagles 40-33 win over the Green Bay Packers. Coming up next here on Locked On Eagles. And guys, today's Locked On Eagles is brought to you by Turo. Turo is the world's largest car sharing marketplace. With Turo, you can book any car you want, wherever you want it, from a community of local hosts. Browse a huge selection of vehicles for just about any occasion or budget across the US, the UK, Canada, and Australia. Book a spacious SUV or minivan for a family road trip. Get a classic or luxury car for a special event, birthday, or holiday. Find affordable economy cars if you're on a budget and just need to get from A to B. Test drive that new electric vehicle if you've had your eye on that for a while to see if it fits your everyday life. Many Turo hosts can even deliver the car right to you. Every trip is backed by liability insurance. Terms and conditions and exclusions apply. Forget boring rental cars and find your drive at Turo.com. This is the Locked On Eagles podcast. Thank you so much for making LOE your first listen each and every day. Guys, for your second listen, check out the Locked On Sports Today podcast. From the games that matter the most to the biggest stories in sports, go beyond the scoreboard and behind the scenes with local experts and insight only Locked On can provide. Locked On Sports Today, available on this app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcast. It's stock up, stock down. Jalen Hurts again broke the single game rushing record for an Eagles quarterback with 157 rushing yards. Also had two passing touchdowns. Honestly, I felt like they could have let him throw more. I think their conservative approach maybe at times this past 2 weeks is not a referendum on Jalen's passing ability, Gino. This week, you know, like the Colts game, it was strange that they were so conservative. I feel like they're still trying to figure out who they are in the passing game without Dallas Goedert, even though they have Devontae Smith still and A.J. Brown. But I think against Green Bay, I didn't have a problem. The run game was just so dominant. You don't go away with what is working. And it wasn't just working. It was the greatest rushing performance the Eagles have had since the 40s with 363 yards. So I totally get why they were full steam ahead with not only Jalen Hurts, but man, Miles Sanders and that offensive line. You mentioned it in segment one, just incredible. Again, one of the best performances we've ever seen.
Miles Sanders is begging the Philadelphia Eagles to give him money. And it is going to be hard for Howie Roseman to say, man, we're going to spend one of those high draft picks on a running back, something
we've mentioned so many defensive free agents. He's got his work cut out for him now with Sanders and how Isaac Seumalo looks. He's got a lot of bodies to pay this offseason.
It's going to be one of those Howie Roseman off seasons where you say, how did they end up signing all these guys when Miles Sanders inevitably does come back? Because what he is doing, Lou, is going back to 2019, where him and Jordan Howard had that thunder and lightning-esque element to their game.
Only
and
Sanders Miles, Wolf.
He's getting back to the pass game, Lou. He's kind of figuring it out slowly by slowly. They're giving him those easy checkdowns in the flat. Just get him in space, because when he is in the open, Lou, he is phenomenal. And the one part of his game that has really evolved over the last couple of years is his ability to maintain his footing through contact and gain extra yards after first contact. How many times in that game was he hit near the line of scrimmage, kept his legs running, picks up four or five more extra yards, ends up hitting a hole, break a big run? He's just going to continue to do that. He's that guy that's the home run hitter. No matter when he's up to the plate, you just have to be on watch because he's going to break one, Lou. He's so close.
I know,
he is hitting the hole. He's decisive. And his straight line speed, man, it's just something you can't match with the other two guys that they have. As fast as Kenny Gainwell is, as quick as Boston Scott is, when Miles Sanders wants to gear up to that next level, there's not many people that can catch him in the open field, and which is so exciting about him.
It's tough, man, because, again, you always hear don't pay a running back, don't pay a running back. And I understand why Philly would choose to not pay Miles Sanders. They have the greatest offensive line in football. They have Hall of Famers on that unit. They have young studs in Jordan Mailata and also Landon Dickerson. I think Lane Johnson is the best tackle in football, not just left tackle or right tackle, the best tackle in football. You have Jalen Hurts also as well at quarterback, one of the best mobile quarterbacks in the league. But at the same time, it's like unless you commit to really going cheap, like let's say you let Sanders walk. If you're going to go Gainwell, Scott, and draft somebody later in the draft, and that's just going to be the value position that you don't really invest in, okay, if you're going to go all in. But if you're not going to take that approach, Gino, you're going to have to pay somebody in this deep pool of free agent running backs, or you're going to have to spend a high draft pick. So it might as well be Miles Sanders, the guy you know is great that you bring in. And I think with – you know, David Montgomery, Josh Jacobs, Saquon Barkley, Tony Pollard, Devin Singletary, all these other free agent running backs already on the open market, I think you're going to be able to get a team-friendly deal where a payday for Sanders, I don't really know, compared to other positions, how much that really even is.
And all of those guys that you just mentioned, Lou, the yeah. one thing that Miles Sanders has that a lot of them don't are the amount of miles on this kid's tires. He didn't play a ton at Penn State. He didn't get a ton of carries because he yeah. was behind Saquon. David Montgomery, Devin Singletary, all those guys you mentioned, they played multiple years in college.
Kareem Hunt, I didn't even mention, too, is going to be in
there. As well. I mean, yeah, yeah, there you go. And he's been a guy who's carried the bulk of the load forever. Miles Sanders, even in Philadelphia, he's not a guy that's averaging 20 to 25 carries a game. He still has a lot left to give as a young running back in this league. And I think he's yet to hit his ceiling. I think he's close. He's getting closer to where he was after that rookie season. But right now, this is the best Miles Sanders we have seen. And a lot of it has to do with the trust that he has with the guys in front of him. If he knows that a gap is going to be open, he trusts himself to be the athlete that he has always been, trust his vision, get to the next level. Man, there's going to be a moment in these last six games where it might be a bad weather game and the Eagles are in a tight matchup and yeah. they need Miles Sanders to pop one like he did back in 2019 against Buffalo. Yeah. That's going to come. It's going to be here sooner rather than later. He's just chomping at the bit. He's getting there, Lou. I can't wait for it.
I agree. Stock up to Miles Sanders and the offensive line, putting up 363 yards on the ground with Jalen Hurts, of course, as well, getting into that mix, the most since the 1940s in Philadelphia Eagles history. Geno, also, though, moving on, stock up to just overall the next man up mentality. I mean, you saw three key guys, especially we mentioned on the postgame show, that made some timely plays. And that's the key word that Nick Sirianni even mentioned before this game when he was talking about Quez Watkins or a Reed Blankenship or a Josiah Scott, three guys that stepped up big, right? Quez had that touchdown to end the half to put you up seven. Before that, even Josiah Scott had a huge interception. So did Reed Blankenship coming in for Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, picking off the back-to-back MVP. Sirianni mentioned in his post-game speech, also even this week with press conferences, that these kind of players need to always be ready and they need to be willing to make timely plays, because Quez specifically, he told Watkins in front of the entire team that the offense, the passing game was going to run through Devontae Smith, A.J. Brown, and Dallas Goedert. You got to step up when your number is called. Same with Blankenship, same with Scott as backups on defense. And all three did in a huge spot. I mean, that's not easy to have reserves make those kind of plays, and all three did. And it was extremely important. Quez, especially the last 3 weeks, has really stepped up without Dallas Goedert.
It's the analogy I always make about Danny Green or your Jamal Crawfords or your J.R. Smiths, how good they were as that sixth man, that next man up, to where they could just come in as a role player and they have stars all around them and all they have to do is be themselves and do their job. And that's exactly what those guys did. Quez Watkins showed off exactly why the Eagles loved him coming out of Southern Miss. His ability not just to be quick and deceptive, but his ability as a 50-50 receiver.
He went up. Body control, man. That's not easy.
High pointed that football. Man, that was a great play. Great throw from Jalen Hurts to quote unquote underthrow it, for people who don't understand football. When a cornerback is running stride for stride and you have to place a ball to where nobody else can get it, you don't put it past your wide receiver to where the corner can continue in stride and try to track it over his head. You put it on a back shoulder to where now he is in a blind spot to where he has to turn around and find the ball, where your receiver knows exactly where it's going to be. And Quez Watkins has that connection with Jalen Hurts. We've seen it multiple times in the past two seasons. And over the past 2 weeks after that big fumble, that's great to see. You see Reed Blankenship step up for who will probably have to be in a lot more with Chauncey Gardner-Johnson lacerating his kidneys. Well wishes to Chauncey. That's a bad injury to come back from. But Reed Blankenship, and you mentioned it, Josiah Scott, when you have players around you like Darius Slay and even the way Marcus Epps has been playing in the front with those seven guys that they have up there, you just have to come in there and be yourself and not put a hole in the boat. That's really what it is. Just pick up the oar where that last guy left off, continue right. rowing in the same direction as everybody else. And you saw that. Josiah Scott, a playmaker around the football. We've seen him make a bunch of pass breakups in the few games that
last 2 weeks, especially, man. I mean, yeah, back to back third down pass deflections mm-hmm. and big spots against the Colts, an interception to put the Eagles up 14-0 against the Packers, giving the offense the ball inside the red zone against Green Bay. Quez Watkins, Reed Blankenship, Josiah Scott, definitely stock up. And then, Gino, one more before we take a break. How about Fletcher Cox? I mean, Nick Sirianni mentioned himself after the game. This was Cox's best game of the season. And while he doesn't look completely shot and has been a solid role player this year, he definitely is not the player he once was. But he looked like it on Sunday. He had a sack of his own against Aaron Rodgers. He had two quarterback hurries, two tackles for a loss, looked good against the run, looked good in the pass rush game. That was the old Fletcher Cox, and maybe it's adding Linval Joseph and Ndamukong Suh, and you're going to get Jordan Davis back. Keeping him fresh might be big, because even he admitted a couple weeks ago, like, he was gassed playing, what, like 70 snaps? I mean, mm-hmm. he's been playing a lot for an older player, so he definitely looked fresh and pretty dominant on Sunday night.
And that could be the reality of what Fletcher Cox is. And is yeah. he just an average player at that level? No, he's still a good to great to even a game disruptor at times when he is on his game. And I think right now the best plan of attack is to continue to just churn those guys in there. Javon Hargrave can carry a lot of those snaps, being the younger one of the group. But between Fletcher Cox, Linval Joseph, and Ndamukong Suh, right. just continue to rotate those guys in there, because they all do a lot of similar things. They all mask some of the weaknesses of the others, let's say, but you have to keep them fresh. These aren't guys that are 28, 29 years old even, like Javon Hargrave is. They're in their 30s.
Yeah.
You have to figure out what their play time is, and maybe you're figuring out that Fletcher Cox can't go for 60 snaps a game, but what he did against that Green Bay offensive line, that's exactly the type of player that you have seen in Fletcher Cox in those games where you look back and say, oh, who was the impact player? It's those three guys, Brandon Graham, Fletcher Cox, and it was one of the guys, Malcolm Jenkins or probably Darius Slay, in those games. And continually it's been Fletcher Cox and Brandon Graham stepping up to the plate, even at their age.
All right, Gino, stock down coming up next, because it wasn't a perfect game. 40-33, the Eagles win by one possession. We'll get into stock down right here on Lockdown Eagles coming up next.
This episode of the Lockdown Eagles podcast is brought to you by our friends over at Audible. Audible is releasing a slate of new football podcasts to where you are going to love them. Find Block Forever now wherever you get your podcasts. Block Forever is a brand new podcast from former NFL All-Pro Ryan Khalil and Audible. He gives football fans an insider's look to the game through the eyes of great players and personalities throughout NFL and football history. You'll hear Christian McCaffrey talk about his love-hate relationship for fantasy football. Juju Smith-Schuster gives his most honest opinions of other players and positions in the league. New episodes of Block Forever will be recorded and released every week ahead of Thursday night football. Catch the full Block Forever series available anywhere where you get your podcasts. Available everywhere now. Audible, get in the game.
This is the Lockdown Eagles podcast, a Tuesday edition of the show. It's stock up, stock down after the Eagles' big win on Sunday night over the Green Bay Packers, the first team in the NFL to get to 10 wins this year. Stock up Jalen Hurts, Miles Sanders, the offensive line, Quez Watkins, Reed Blankenship, and Josiah Scott stepping up, Fletcher Cox having his best game of the year. We could have mentioned Devontae Smith even, and A.J. Brown bouncing back from that fumble to get a touchdown. Overall, a complete team effort on both sides of the football to get that win. But, Gino, overall, it did come at a cost, and I think the first stock down we got to get into is injuries. The Eagles have gotten through the season very healthy. They've been seen as one of the most healthy rosters throughout the entire season. But, you know, you got the Jordan Davis injury, Avante Maddox, Dallas Goedert. It's starting to pile up a little bit. And then you had a big injury on Sunday in the first quarter, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. The report now is that he has a lacerated kidney on top of a rib fracture. So he's out indefinitely, not supposed to be requiring surgery. So it's not expected to be season ending. But, you know, Gino, with lacerated kidneys, those are tough. I mean, Zach Ertz came back after 2 weeks, I think in 2019, to play in that playoff game against Seattle with that injury. But at the same time, there's been other guys that don't come back from this. So it's up in the air, and that's a huge loss because Chauncey has been, as we know, leading the NFL in interceptions, and he's been dominant on the back end. So hopefully he can come back at some point. These injuries on defense, though, starting to pile up a little bit. Hopefully most of them you can get back by the time the playoffs come around, or at least for this stretch run to secure the division and the number one seed.
And rightfully, you hope that that happens. I mean, for the players in particular, you just want them to be healthy no matter what. You don't want to see guys suffer these type of injuries in the game of football. Jordan Poyer back in 2016 suffered this exact injury in the middle of October, and that almost ended his career. He was very close to retiring after lacerating his kidney. These things can be bad. So best of health for Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. We want nothing but the best for him. Hopefully, though, like you said, Lou, Jordan Davis should be coming back soon. He could reportedly come back tomorrow on Wednesday. Fonte Maddox should be ready to go within the next 2 weeks or so. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, the report is it's not season ending. So us as Eagles fans, we know injuries and adversity is going to happen. It is the next man up. That's the one thing I love about our fan base is we're never, oh, we were injured. We were injured. We had guys up. That's not what we'll discuss. It's what happens between the lines, and it is the next man up. You have to take the good with the bad. The ability to have those guys like Reed Blankenship and Josiah Scott go out there and earn money in the NFL and get film for continuing their careers, it comes at the extent of injury sometimes, and we know that. Look at Halapuli Vaivai-Tai. The guy got $10 million because Jason Peters got hurt in the Super Bowl season. So things happen, but you have to have that next man up. But regardless, you want these guys back healthy, especially with how good this team is moving into the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree. Hopefully you get them all back. There's a chance. The good thing is none of these have been set in stone out for the year. Mm-hmm. It could be with CGJ. I think they're definitely going to get Jordan Davis back within the next 2 weeks. Hopefully same with Avante Maddox, and Dallas Goedert will be back. CGJ, though, I would probably say of all those guys, the most up in the air with his availability this year. Hopefully he is back, though. He's been such a game changer. If not, Gino, I'm just saying, I heard that podcast with John Clark. Malcolm Jenkins said he can still play. He's only a year removed from being a pretty solid starter with the Saints last year. If he's actually willing to pull an Eric Weddle and come out of retirement and play for the Eagles this year next to Marcus Epps, I'm genuinely all in on that. I do think that that's your best option if Gardner Johnson does not come back this year.
And we have seen this formula work where players have come back and the Eagles have done this. I mean, Linval Joseph and Ndamukong Suh were sitting at home. Ndamukong Suh said he was about to retire. He was down in Florida just hanging out. And then he said, oh, the Eagles called up and he wanted a chance to win another Super Bowl. Malcolm Jenkins, why would he not want that opportunity? And that's one position where the Eagles so badly need that depth. And, man, could you talk about a retribution story and just being a hero to the city of Philadelphia? Malcolm Jenkins, he already is so beloved. He comes back and helps his team push towards the playoffs. That truly would be something.
Would be a cool story, yeah. That's definitely, and you know me, I'm a sucker for a good Eagles reunion. So, but this one makes a lot of sense. Again, Jenkins is not a player that's been out of the league for years, and, you know, it's a pipe dream. He was a pretty good player still last year. Mm-hmm. Is he the level of, you know, caliber of 2017 or 2018? No, but at the same time, that's a pretty good guy just available in the free agent pool that could come back if Gardner Johnson is out long term. I guess we'll know. I think what Howie does these next few weeks at safety, Gino, will maybe tell us what they're thinking with Gardner Johnson's timetable. If he doesn't do anything, maybe they really believe in Blankenship, or maybe they know he's coming back. And if they bring Jenkins in or somebody else, maybe that's telling that he might be out for a while. But we'll keep you updated right here on Locked On Eagles. Gino, before we do wrap up the show, stock down again, man. I mean, we talked about it in the postgame show, but we got to reiterate how bad special teams was. And Mike Clay talked today on his press conference, and, you know, he talked about how bad the kickoff coverage was, blocking, tackling. It's just everything's a complete mess. I mean, you bring in Boston Scott, the return game still was barely explosive. It's just really bad. I don't know what the fix is outside of moving on from the coach this year, but I hope this is not something that eventually it impacts you in a big spot.
How can you say that, what he said, that the return unit blocking was bad, and not look yourself in the mirror and say, maybe I am the one who is responsible for this? And
it's been every week. The blocking's been bad every week. I mean,
That's what a special teams coordinator is supposed to do. He's supposed to coordinate the players to put them in the correct position to be as efficient as you can as a unit. Jonathan Gannon has taken fire for it. Nick Sirianni took fire for it after that 2-5 start last year. The guy who's just sitting behind, sitting in the corner at the bar, nobody's paying attention to this guy. Well, it almost came back to bite you. And I have been chomping at the bit to get this guy out. I might have to get hashtag Clay out shirts made, because it is going to come back to bite them in the middle of January when you're playing the Dallas Cowboys, who have Kevontae Turpin, who's a phenomenal kick returner. He's going to pop one, and then all of a sudden you're playing from behind after a big special teams play because you just simply couldn't get your guys in the right position. It's inexcusable. It's a big part of the game. And, man, even Jake Elliott's getting the bug. He missed an extra point. That almost cost them two. Everybody on special teams.
He made up for it, though, man. That was a big kick at the end.
He did. But he's getting the bug. He's around it. He's getting that sickness. The special teams is not good sickness.
Yeah. It's just crazy. I mean, especially the return game. I know we've made the same take over and over, but they have so much speed on this offense. The fact that they can't find a single guy. I mean, I cannot believe
Devin Allen a freaking chance, man.
I guess you just got to throw everything in there. Maybe Devin Allen, just throw the kitchen sink out there and hope it works. Maybe bring back, talking about reunions, Darren Sproles a week ago said he could still do it.
I would do that. I don't know, man, at this point.
Yeah. What's Kenyon Barner doing? Is he on a team? It's been that long since they've had a good returner. So it's definitely bad. Stock down to special teams. That's going to do it for today's edition of Locked On Eagles. Guys, we'll be back tomorrow getting ready to take a first look at this upcoming matchup on Sunday against Derrick Henry and the Tennessee Titans. Make sure you subscribe to Locked On Eagles. We've got three more shows for you this week. Monday through Friday, we got a podcast for you on all podcast platforms and on YouTube as well. Make sure you also hit us up on Twitter at Locked On Birds, at GC24_football. And at DBLCLOE. Thanks so much for making Locked On Eagles your first listen each and every day. Make sure your next listen is the Locked On Sports Today podcast, the biggest stories of the day, plus instant reactions, big game recaps, and the take of the day, available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your shows. As always, thank you for downloading. Thank you for watching and listening to Locked On Eagles. And let's go, Birds.
Fly, Eagles, fly.